Good afternoon, St. Louis, DGS on KMOX. Happy Friday to you. Doesn't get much prettier than this weekend, so get out there and enjoy yourselves. So catch me up. Someone set themselves on fire outside of the Trump trial.
Yeah.
Is that about all we know?
Yeah. Laura Coates was in the middle of an interview, broadcasting live from outside the park.
On CNN.
And she was talking to somebody who was on a different location, and she was in the middle of asking a question and looked over and saw the flames, and her first instinct was there was an active shooter. Mm. She said, active shooter. And then she got a look and realized that's a person sitting on a park bench who has lit themselves on fire.
Andrew, you have it?
Yeah, we have the audio right here.
What do you say? We also are seeing an active shooter is in the park outside the court. We have a man who is he has set fire to himself. A man has emblazoned himself outside of the courthouse just now. Our cameras are turning right now. A man has now lit himself on fire outside of the courthouse in Manhattan, where we are waiting history to be made. A full jury panel is gone. We are watching a man who is fully emblazoned in the front of the courthouse today. We are watching multiple fires breaking out around his body and person. We have seen an arm that has been visible, that has been engulfed in total flames. There is chaos that is happening. People are wondering right now if people are in danger. I'm looking across the courtyard. There is a man racing to his aid. There is coats coming off to try to put out the fire. We have members of security details. NYPD is rushing to the scene. They are trying to come out. Officers are on the scene. A fire extinguisher is right now present, being put on this man to try to put out. People are climbing over barricades to try to separate the public, to put out the flame on this man. He has lit himself out in fire in front of the courthouse right now. We are watching as they're playing. We can smell the air. I can smell the burning of some sort of a flesh.
Jeez.
Well,
there's tonight's news.
And important to note, like, no assumptions here, because we have no idea what this person was protesting, self-immolation. I mean, assuming it's a protest of some sort, but it could be completely unrelated, because a lot of times this type of thing happens when they know there are going to be a lot of cameras.
Yeah, right.
So we just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it clearly could be related, but it could be completely. I mean, people have been doing, was it the Free Palestine movement,
where
it was the soldier that set himself on fire? So, I mean, could be that. Could be environmentalist. Could be literally anything.
Could be just a crazy person.
It could literally be anything. So we'll see. I'm sure Twitter's reacting rationally.
Yeah.
I'm sure nobody's jumping to any conclusions.
Yeah.
Mm. Awful.
So I guess they have a full panel, and starting on Monday, do we know? For the Trump trial?
Not sure when it's starting. I just saw that they have the full panel. I know they had 12 and then they were moving forward. Mm-hmm. I'm shocked. Yesterday, when they were at 7 and then they went down to 5, I asked Ron, I go, how low do you think they'll go before they start building back up? I did not think they would have...
get it all done by the end of the day?
Exactly.
Yeah, they might use every one of those alternates. I mean,
That's possible.
It's not going to be a normal trial.
Well, after what Jesse Waters did on Fox News with the juror, the oncology nurse, outing her, basically, didn't have her name, but listed everything about her that he could, that this was her occupation. She lives with her fiance. This is her fiance's job. This is the neighborhood she lives in. These are the news outlets she watches. What are we doing here?
You know, this may be unpopular to say, but I mean it. And if you disagree, you can certainly call and tell me how and why you disagree. People don't stay the same. We change. Marriages don't stay the same. They change. Families, companies, everything changes. We seem to have this view in America, because of all the decades of America, you know, F yeah, that we're the same as we used to be. And we're not. We're just not. We're not World War II generation America. We're not stable America. We're not all for one for all America. We're Marjorie Taylor Greene and groups called FART in the House of Representatives, people setting themselves on fire, former presidents under felony indictment. We are not the same country, and we're never going to be. Now, that doesn't mean we can't turn it around. People turn it around. Marriages turn it around. Companies turn it around. But I think the first thing you need to do is acknowledge, like, man, I've really let myself go. My marriage is not going well. This company is close to bankruptcy. Do you guys agree or disagree? It just seems to me that we're still kind of living this fantasy that it's still 1957 or 1972 or something, and everything's fine. And I don't think everything's fine. And and by the way, this is not one guy can't take down a whole country. This is not, you know, Trump ruined the whole country. That's not what I'm saying at all. It had to be many, 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 many things and many people. But it just seems to me that we're living in a different country than we used to.
But it's hard to stop to acknowledge it, because once a narrative has been built for a couple of hundred years about the kind of country we think we are, it's even if the reality is no longer that, you've already built it up in your mind that that's who we are. So it takes a while.
And it's offended when someone says the opposite. Let's take the marriage example.
Yeah.
And you've been married for 15, 20, 25 years, and everyone knows you. And they know you as the couple, the Chris and Amy couple. And we all know what you're like, but behind closed doors, you're different. But you don't let that out, because then you lose status and you lose this and you lose that and you're embarrassed. That's how it feels.
Well, it could be that.
It feels that we're all just going like, no, no, no. What? Us? No, we're great. No, everything's fine.
I definitely think our system of government was made to be adaptable, was made to grow, was made to change, because even at the time, the brightest thinkers in Europe, the most established intellectuals, said you can't make a country with ink and paper. Countries are ethnicity, nationality, language, culture. You can't make a paper, a nation, with ink and paper. And when we did, America did. That's why when you come here, immigrants from all over the world, you become an American. And for all of our differences, and our government was designed to accommodate differences. We had certain foundational truths which we could all agree upon. Let's go back to the marriage thing. Let's say you have a house, you have a husband and a wife, and you have a kid, and you have your set of rules. You may grow, you may change, you may feel differently about the rules, you may adjust to the rules. But you do that knowing you're the husband, I'm the wife, this is our kid. Now, let's say the husband's going, I don't think that's my kid. That's not my kid. Now I'm going to act differently because you're operating under the assumption that that's our kid. I'm operating under the assumption that's not my kid. Now the rules don't apply. That foundational truth is wreaking havoc on the rules that were established. And I think we've been able to hang on to some basic tenets of foundational truth until recently. And I think that was already starting to break apart our understanding of truth. And then now we have the technology to reaffirm whatever truth we want to believe is true. And I think the confluence of technology and the breakdown of our cultural fabric has created this.
And continuing with the marriage analogy, it's not even so much that, because in a marriage you can just go, marriage is over. We're both moving on, and maybe we will both get married to different people and we'll have a different thing. That's not going to happen with a country. And I don't sense that, other than a few freaks, that people are really wanting civil war or to secede from the Union or something like that. It's more, we're married. I mean, yeah, what are we going to do? Stop being a country. It's just that you're ruining the marriage, Amy. You everything you do is wrong. Everything you do is stupid. Everything you do is just, it's making me miserable. And I need you to stop everything you're doing and start doing everything I say. That's kind of the way it feels. Because it's easy enough to go like, we're done. Boop, done. You don't do that with the country, though. But what you do is you turn against each other. And there are many factions, but two basic ones, right? We're just stuck with that. We're stuck with it for elections. We're stuck with it from just this thought experiment. But that's what it feels like to me, is that the husband and the wife, or the spouse and the spouse, are just, they just hate each other so much, and they blame everything on each other. And of course, what do you think's happening? And then what about the kids? What about the kids of that marriage? How's that going to affect them? And how is it going to affect the kids of this marriage of this country?
Yeah, it's that for sure. But I think it's even crazier than that. I mean, at least the husband and wife can realize that there is a reality happening. We live in a house. We have two cars. We have two kids. We can't agree on reality.
Well, that was my point.
Think of all the movements that are out there. We have flat earth people. We have people that are against scientific advancements that have been proven effective for over 100 years. We have people nonstop trying to change what reality is. And I think it's as simple as there are people that know how to manipulate others. It's easy to do it. So how do you?
And it's lucrative.
Right. And they make money doing it, right? You'll notice a lot of the people that are pushing anti this, guess what I back? I back the alternative to that. You don't believe this group, that group. Yeah, they're trying to take your money. Oh, but buy this from me and we'll take care of you. And I think that, you know, when you cannot agree on a reality, political opponents used to be opponents. Now we have people in politics referring to their political opponents as demons.
Enemies.
They're trying to ruin your country. And that's not one party doing the ruin your country thing. That's two parties doing it. When you have that dynamic and you cannot agree on reality, you know, again, at least in a divorce, you can agree. This is our house. We can't even agree on those things. And we have people, you know, as you pointed out, Dave, people that are so unserious and so ridiculous that they will come up with an acronym for a congressional group called FART. I mean, if you put that in the movie Idiocracy, people would be like, come on, that's so stupid.
You've gone too far.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Rach, Andrew, what do you guys think?
I'm just wondering, like, specifically, what are these foundational truths that we've let go of? Because we can discuss this all day and be like, yeah, there's obviously a huge problem. But what is it that you guys think has slipped away that we had 10 years ago that we no longer have now?
I'm always inclined to piggyback off that. I'm always inclined to say maybe we haven't, you know, being raised in the era of post 9/11 and the era of the Iraq War and the era of recessions as soon as I hit adulthood that I've talked about before. I don't see anything really all that much different than it's always been. It's just sort of...
Yeah, it's ramped up.
But it's ramping to like the logical conclusion.
It's very different than it used to be, though. You guys are just too young to remember it.
Yeah.
Like, even in my life, and I'm not Methuselah, but even in my life, and Amy, correct me if you think I'm wrong, because I wasn't all that politically engaged when I was young, but it just always seemed that the two groups, the warring parties, were very close to each other. You know, there wasn't that much difference between a Bill Clinton and a George Bush, although at the time it was like, oh my God, George Bush, what a monster, you know. But back then it was that let's just say left and right, the left was, for the most part, financially responsible, but they wanted to spend more money on social programs. They wanted to help people out more. And the right was much nicer and much more concerned with people, but they were the grown-ups and they were the, hey, look, before we go out and spend a bunch of money on this program or that program, let's hold on. Just, you know, conservative, slow. Let's go slow. And then it seems at some point in the last 20 years, and especially in the last 10 years, and especially in the last 5 years, that, and we talked about this last week. I did a little diatribe about that. Remember where I said that what's happening is that people who have been marginalized for almost the entire time, and I'm not just talking about black people, I'm talking about people of color, I'm talking about LGBT, I'm talking about females who couldn't vote until 1919 and couldn't get a credit card in their own name until 1972, that went on a really long time. And it's changed in a really short amount of time. Mm. And I think what's happening is the right, and I'm painting with a broad brush because I have a lot of friends on the right who are not like this. And I would have considered myself on the right until very recently when they became the way that they are now. And I can no longer align. But it seems that the right has reacted to this swift change in all of these people getting more rights and more representation by panicking and throwing on the emergency brake and trying to put it in reverse. And on the other side, it seems that the people who have garnered the rights and the representation lately have slammed their foot on the accelerator. Mm-hmm. And so rather than this gentle sort of tidal, predictable push and pull, and I'm the liberal, and I want to spend more money on lighting in the studio. And Kevin is the conservative, and he's like, the lighting isn't that important. What's important is the sound. But then we go to lunch together. That's the way it used to feel. But now it's like, I want to do this. And Kevin's like, we're going back to the way KMOX was in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's what I think is tearing us. That it used to just be very slow, and something very slow over time, friction can break it. But when you just back and forth, and rip, and punch, that's what it feels like. And I think that the media is mostly to blame. Because without the media pouring gasoline on it every day, the politicians can only do so much. We used to not care about mm-hmm. them. You know, Chip O'Neill has a big statement to make, you know, about what's going on with it. No one cares. No normie cared what Chip O'Neill thought. You know, on any given day that the Speaker of the House gave a statement, no one knew except the dorks that were watching PBS or
C-SPAN.
Now we all know because it's professional wrestling.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also would make an argument. We don't have a lot of time for it, but the short version of the argument is this is also partly the result of not adapting how we teach in schools and how we educate kids growing up. We had it a certain way. It was always done a certain way. And that's the way that we all came up. But we're not teaching critical thinking. We're not teaching philosophy. We're not teaching debate and arguments. We're not teaching skills. We're just like, here, read this. And I saw a guy on Twitter say, you know, I'm glad I learned about the Pythagorean theorem in school instead of about taxes, because it's really going to help me when it comes to Pythagorean theorem season. Why aren't we teaching taxes and simple basic things instead of things that confuse everybody?
Welcome back, guys. DGS 125. And we only have like 2 minutes, but can you do your smart thing you just did?
I was just saying one super huge change in the current that we've seen is there is a growing self-loathing of Western civilization that we really didn't have before, and how Western civilization is, you know, the cause of all our problems, instead of really, when you look at all of world history for however many years you want to go back, hundreds, thousands, and millions of years, it all looked the same until a very specific time around the 18th century when these very radical, progressive, liberal ideas of the rights of the individual emerged, both from a secular viewpoint in the Enlightenment and from some more religious viewpoints from some of the American founders, at least a Judeo-Christian viewpoint. And at that time, the world was radicalized, and it was the seeds they were sowing of this new thought of the rights of the individual. So they were deeply, deeply flawed people who, yes, in many ways were very racist or prejudiced, but they planted those seeds, and then society has been evolving ever since that miraculous moment, the miracle really of human civilization, that's when everything changed. And we have been working towards a more perfect union. But right now you do see in a lot of currents, people looking back going, this is the source of all of our problems.
I am not hopeless at all. Because I've seen my own life. I've seen the life of other people. I've seen marriages. All the analogies that we used. I've seen things change. I've seen them get really bad. I've seen them get better. I don't mean to be flippant about it, but I mean, people can go through a stage where you're like, God, have you seen Ranji lately?
Mm-hmm.
He got both ears pierced and his hair's purple. I mean, like, people can go through stuff and you see him again and they're okay, or they're better, or they're this, or they're that. The same thing can happen with a country. We just happen to be going through, to me, a very experimental, immature stage. Hey, what if we made this a lot like the WWE? Wouldn't that be fun? And you know what? It has been. It's been a barrel of monkeys. It is so much more interesting than it ever has been before. But then, just like anything else that's fun and interesting, you get to the point where you're like, I think we're over our skis. 134 at DGS. You want to continue with the kind of serious stuff here, or do you want to try and pivot?
Pivot.
Well, I mean, it's Friday.
All right.
Let's pivot.
All right. What do you want to do?
Yeah, what do you want to do?
Friday.
Go home.
That's a big pivot.
I vote yes. Not just you.
That's
all of us.
This one kind of made me laugh. It's a very sweet, amazing story. Manager of a Taco Bell near Philadelphia did CPR on an 11-week-old baby.
Wow.
And saved the kid's life. Wow. Here's a part of the story that made me laugh, though. Manager Becky Arbaugh immediately dropped everything and stopped waiting on customers. I'm like, oh, wow, what a hero. Let me just get this chalupa out there. And,
you know, that drive-through clock is ticking. You don't want people waiting in line too long.
Mm-hmm. In my head,
Corporal will call you about that.
I know the baby didn't go to Taco Bell by himself, but it feels like the baby went to Taco Bell and was just a customer there.
Maybe he was door dashing, and that's the baby that was going to Dave's house.
A baby definitely delivered my food.
That's right.
This is a true statement.
Yeah. Is that the baby that threw up?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah, no, it's a different baby.
No, there's been a few babies.
Yeah.
How many babies have delivered DoorDash to you?
I'm telling you, man.
I mean,
where did it throw up again?
So Nick was over
and why'd I call it it?
We ordered Taco Bell.
Where did the beast?
And we had, so I have like most people, I have two doors. I have a big wooden door. Then I have like the screen door, whatever, big glass door. And I'm watching the little app and it says like, oh, your driver's nearby. And all of a sudden, I see these two tiny hands unusually low on my glass door, slam it. Just like, wham! Like just making their presence known. And, you know, like that. And I'm like, I think the baby just hit the window like a bird hitting a window, you know, like just make sure the baby's okay. And then I go walking. I didn't go walking over. I told Nick, I'm like, go check. And like a haunted house. And he's like, I don't want to check. It's the baby. And so the baby goes walking back out and there's the little bag of Taco Bell. So we grab that. And then the van, the baby's van, just stays there. And they start to pull away and we're watching them because now we're fascinated. And now, mind you, at no point did we see an adult or who was driving the van. But there were three kids in diapers and one had to be eight. And so my little man who brought me my Taco Bell, the van stops. He leans out the passenger door and just horks. And I'm like, oh, man, brother's working. And
yeah, motion sickness. The other baby's a really bad driver.
And they stayed there legit 40 minutes and ran around playing in my front yard and every now and then throwing up. And I'm halfway through a taco.
I was going to say, did you eat that food?
I'm halfway through a taco. Nick goes, Dad, I doubt the throw up made it inside the bag. And I'm like, what am I doing?
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm a monster.
Yeah. Taco seasoning kills all the germs, though.
And I took a picture of it. It's on my phone somewhere. And again,
I have it.
I never saw a grown up.
Oh, my God. Well.
And there was like this kid was a third grader and all three are running around in diapers.
That's the most unbelievable.
I should have put one on myself and gone out and complained.
What are you guys doing?
You think they like
get out of here?
You think the three of them ever stack on top of each other and put a trench coat and go to the bank?
Calling DoorDash like your delivery person just vomited all over my yard.
Right,
and I think it's a baby.
I think it's a baby.
Also,
it appears to be some sort of infant.
I embarrassed myself today. I Chris and I, we like watches and we like cologne. Mm. And I was visiting my mom at her rehab and there's this, I think she's a CNA and she helps my mom out. And, you know, we talk back and forth. And today she came in, she goes, "Woo, you smell great.
Is that nice.
You?
That's the best."
And I said, yeah, I think it is. And she said, what is that you're wearing? And I immediately thought of lying because it's Prada. Now, I'm not much of a Prada guy, but I bought it for Nick for Christmas in a panic. And he doesn't like cologne, so he gave it back to me. And I really, really like it. So that's what I've been wearing. But for some reason, I felt like I wanted to say it was like Curve or High Karate or Brute Curve. Or something like that. English Leather Lime. And but
Cole's
I'm like,
house brand.
I'm like Prada. And she's like, oh, boy, I'm going to buy some of that for my husband. I really like it. And here's the embarrassing part. I wrote it down. I wrote down my quote, although it's only four words. I said these four words, and then I'll tell you how I said them. I said, I'm a cologne guy. But how I said it was like this. I'm a cologne guy.
That's how I say it.
And as I'm saying
that's got the same tone as Daddy's got it.
Yes, hey. Yes, yes. As I'm saying it, I'm feeling like the guy that creeped on Caitlin Clark. Like, yeah.
I like that you're here.
She's like bringing my mom's,
like that?
Bringing my mom's breakfast and just comments on how nice I smell, and suddenly I'm like, yeah, you keep saying that, and we're going to get along just fine.
Come get yourself a noseful.
Go straight
come
into,
on over.
Go straight into, like, Freddie Boom Boom Washington.
I did.
Hi there.
And I was just... it's bad when you're humiliated and mortified during the four words. But you feel it like a volcano. You feel the dork magma just building, and suddenly you're saying things. You're like, oh, I don't know how this is going to end.
What is it, Prada Luna Rosa Ocean?
I don't know.
Mm.
Yeah, you know more about this than I do.
Mm-hmm. Is it loam?
He's a cologne guy.
Yeah. So
he's, Dave, he's just kind of curious. Dave,
yeah, I thought Prada, Dave, a cologne Bing guy.
I'm a cologne guy.
Well, hello.
Hey, after you deliver that breakfast, come have a seat.
Did you guys see the latest Joe Biden thing that he says he had an uncle eaten by cannibals?
Yeah.
What?
That's awesome if it's true.
I don't think it is. I'm going to go out
on a limb. Yeah, you don't know that.
Well, then
you don't know.
Did he said it or that it's true?
Oh, I don't think it's true that anyone in his family was eaten by cannibals.
Yeah, evidently his uncle was a pilot and did crash near Papua New Guinea. And he said, he was eaten by cannibals. There's lots of cannibals there.
Oh.
And so they did some fact checking, which took a couple seconds. And it turns out that they never found him. But he crashed offshore, and there were five of them. Four of them died on impact. They never found his uncle, but there's no evidence that it was yum yum eat 'em up.
Yeah.
But that, like a 12-year-old boy in summer camp, that's what he's going with.
You know, he said it like twice in the same day.
He said it
somewhere, and then he went somewhere else and said it again. For
he didn't
some reason.
Find it.
Did he say it while he was eating ice cream? Because that seems like that's an image you don't want.
It's probably one of those things that in the family they've been telling this tale for years. Like my great grandma used to insist we were related to Rutherford B. Hayes. Which
what a strange dunk!
Like I don't think so, Grandma. But
I think I have the audio. If you
like.
Oh yeah, my gosh,
yeah.
No,
Ambrose Finnegan. I've been calling him Uncle Bosey. He was shot down. He was an Army Air Corps. Before there was an Air Force. He flew single-engine planes, reconnaissance flights over New Guinea. He had volunteered because someone couldn't make it. He got shot down in an area where there were a lot of cannibals in New Guinea at the time.
I mean, if you could even hear what he was saying.
Yeah, I heard the cannibal part.
Uncle Bosey, we called him.
Well,
I mean, I believe Uncle Bosey existed.
We don't know that it didn't happen.
The whole cannibals,
but to make that claim, like somebody needs to know that happened. Like, so like one of his buddies saw it and came back and told the tale, right?
I said this earlier about Biden. Like, he lies all the time, but it's always like lies that they would never help him if they're true.
Agreed.
And they don't hurt the country either.
They don't hurt the country, but
agreed.
They also don't help him.
Yeah, but
and as a president,
that's more of a making up a story
than
a lie.
But we don't even know that. Maybe it's true.
Like,
how do you not?
Even after September 11th.
I mean, the White House said it wasn't true.
I'm saying the White House said it wasn't true.
Out and said, yeah, that didn't happen. That's
you
not
know,
what happened.
He also lies about things he doesn't need to because he's impressive. You may not like him, but he has lived an impressive life. It's like, I went to WashU Law School. I don't need to say I was number one in the class. I wasn't. And there's no need for me to lie about that because it doesn't get me that much more.
Right. It doesn't do anything for you.
Exactly.
Well, like when he was talking about being at Ground Zero on September 11th, this was last year. And he's like, and when I went there the next day, I was there the next day and blah, blah, blah. It was awful. He was there 9 days later, which doesn't matter.
Not
like,
a big difference.
Like,
no.
He was a
afterwards,
senator at the
I was
time.
There.
Yes, I was there in the days following. Like, why do you lie? About stupid stuff.
/1:51 DJs, happy Friday. Gorgeous day out there. So, you know who's mad about Biden saying that Papua New Guinea is full of cannibals? Papua New Guinea.
Yeah.
What did they say?
Yeah, this a guy that's like, I think he's a college professor that researches the history of his country, said that, you know, he said it's not offensive. I'm paraphrasing, but it's not offensive to suggest that there were cannibals in Papua New Guinea at that time. He said there were. We know that. He said, but what's offensive is you're just saying like some random white guy jumps out of a plane and we're going to eat him.
Like, well, how do they determine who they eat?
Well, that's a good question. A lot of it, I don't know the history of this very well, but I know a lot of the cannibals did that to their enemies because they wanted to absorb their spirits and their strengths and their energy and all of that.
So it wasn't for taste.
I don't know for sure, maybe. But I mean, like, the idea, it's just, I don't know, the whole thing is silly.
Was anyone else afraid of falling prey to cannibals because of Bugs Bunny?
No, Gilligan.
Gilligan, good
was there
one.
Cannibalism on that?
Well, yes. They had an episode where the cannibals were coming, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
You know, it is weird. I'm less afraid of cannibals than I was like piranhas or quicksand.
Yeah.
Quicksand. Well,
see, the thing
we
is,
we
like,
lied to a lot.
Yeah. Because piranha apparently aren't that dangerous unless they're starving.
Right.
Like if they haven't eaten in days, then they're going to come out. Otherwise,
maybe
they're
that's
just
cannibals.
Yeah.
Same with cannibals.
Same with cannibals, too. It's funny. If they're full, they don't bother you.
You know what kind of cannibal's the best? A full cannibal.
That's right.
One that's not hungry.
Never go shopping when you're hungry.
Yeah.
That's
it
so
would be,
true.
Listen, your elders are going to die, right? It would be kind of cool to have a relative who did die from being eaten by cannibals. You could tell people that.
I mean, it's no Rutherford B. Hayes, but
I think it's way better. Yes, I'm related to a president, according to my great-grandmother.
If you look, Google young Rutherford B. Hayes, he looks exactly
just like me.
No, like Drew Brees. It's not even, it's unbelievable.
Oh,
I thought it was fake.
I've seen that, yeah.
I thought it was fake. It's not.
Oh, my God, it is Drew Brees.
I know.
And see, I'm sitting over here. I knew that Rutherford B. Hayes was a president. I couldn't tell you where he was. Like in the pantheon,
like where, like which number?
Yeah.
I would guess 1980s? Early days. So maybe I don't know. Was he one of the? Was he one of the first? Was he one of the first 10 or 15? Let me Google that.
It's a good thing there's only 2 minutes left in Amy's week.
We were talking about the Arizona.
Oh, he was 19th president.
Okay. We were talking about the Phoenix Coyotes leaving town. They're going to Salt Lake City. And she was telling a story about how
the Arizona Coyotes are rebranding and they're going to Utah.
Yeah, they were sold. And she was talking about how a young Austin Matthews, who's one of the great players in the game now, fell in love with hockey because of the Coyotes.
Hey, he grew up in Arizona, yeah.
Grew up in Scottsdale. And I said, well, you know, now maybe there will be a Mormon superstar one day. And what did you say?
I said they will be the Latter-day Skates.
It doesn't even rhyme.
That's actually funny.
It doesn't even rhyme.
Oh, it's funny?
Kevin, you like that one?
I did. The Latter-day Skates.
I kind of hate her.
I would never have guessed Kevin would think that was
funny. I wouldn't have either. Didn't think so either, but it hit me.
That's
shocking. Sometimes I don't like Kevin, but he comes up really clutch at other times, which makes me forgive his other sins.
Oh, man. There is one. There's a group of people on Twitter that want them to be the Utah Yetis.
Huh.
Well, that would be cool.
Better than the Latter-day Skates.
Most of them are.
Andrew, you don't like Latter-day Skates?
I don't. It doesn't rhyme or make any sense.
Do you even know what that is?
Yeah.
You know the Latter-day Saints, don't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
That doesn't rhyme with skates.
But it does.
He just asked if you were too stupid to get the joke.
Yeah, I know, he did. He asked if I was simply too misinformed. To get Amy's horrible
sure
joke.
You're just not dumb.
Now, Amy has a bad joke, but if you don't think it's funny, obviously it's because you're too stupid.
But it's not impossible you didn't know.
It is.